The CSPC acknowledges the Indigenous nations who have an historical and ongoing relationship with the land where our offices and work are based. We are grateful to be guests here and thank those who continue to steward and care for this land. The CSPC would like to give a special thanks to the Vancouver Foundation. We're grateful for their support throughout the Tasteless Project. The Vancouver Foundation is not just a funder, they are true partners in this endeavor. By working closely with them, we've tackled various regional challenges around transportation and security. The Transportation Access Climate Economic Security Project, or TACES, was established to develop and promote free climate equity frameworks within the Capital Regional District, with a specific focus on transportation equity. TACES explored and tested program planning decisions that led to the best climate, accessibility, and affordability outcome. The three projects under this initiative are the Saanich E-Bike Equity Program, which is conducted in partnership with the District of Saanich in the UBC REACT Lab, the Cycling Gender Gap Research Project, conducted with the CRD, and the Rethinking the Public Transit Network case study, which was conducted with the CRD and Royal Roads University. Now, I'd like to provide a brief overview of each of the three projects. The Saanich E-Bike Equity Program drew from existing research and was designed to reduce regional GHG emissions by enabling low-income and equity-seeking groups to transition to e-bikes for their transportation. The success of this program directly contributed to the introduction of the first municipal e-bike incentive program in BC to incorporate an equity lens through stepped income-qualified rebate. The Cycling Gender Gap Research Project examined the disparity in cycling participation between men, women, and the LGBTQ+ community on the CRD's regional trails, with a focus on qualitative experiences of women and non-binary cyclists. The project identified safety concerns and social barriers for women and the LGBTQ+ community, were further explored and discussed in focus groups. The project's intent was to help mitigate barriers to cycling and promote a more equitable approach to active transportation for everyone. Rethinking the Public Transit Network case study developed an analytical framework to inform the design of new transit networks. It identified, mapped, and examined three new regional transit network scenarios that aligned with the planning policy objectives of 1. Climate mitigation, 2. Social justice, and 3. Climate justice. The study also engaged regional governments and transportation planners to identify the opportunities and challenges for improving Greater Victoria's transit network. For our presentation, I'll begin by discussing the Saanich e-bike program and some of the recommended policy tools that can be implemented to facilitate greater e-bike uptake, along with improvements that can be made to the overall e-mobility infrastructure. Next, I'll review some of the key findings of the Cycling Gender Gap study, including deterrence to cyclists, how to enhance driver awareness, and ways to better integrate women and the LGBTQ+ community into the cycling culture. Finally, I'll speak on the proposed new public transit networks from the Public Transit Network case study, along with the opportunities and challenges they present. Why e-mobility matters. Transportation is the leading source of GHG emissions in Victoria. In the CRD, 87% of emissions come from passenger vehicles, so a significant shift in people's mode of travel will be required to reduce emissions. Transportation is also a significant household expense. In 2021, the average BC household spent nearly $11,000 on transportation, $10,000 of which was on private transportation such as cars, vans, and trucks. Given their relatively low cost compared to motor electric vehicles, e-bikes offer a fantastic opportunity to significantly reduce household transportation expenses and GHG emissions. Saanich e-bike program capitalized on this opportunity by increasing the uptake of e-bikes, particularly for low-income individuals, through tiered financial incentives. An analysis of the program's efficacy in reducing GHG emissions and household expenditures was conducted by the University of British Columbia's REACT Lab and the CSPC, the results of which can be found in the link below. Financing and loans. Financing and loans are effective policy tools that governments can implement to encourage greater adoption of e-bikes and other e-mobility vehicles. Not only do these options help to replace motor vehicles and reduce GHG emissions, but they also provide low-income households with the means to purchase e-bikes. The long-term costs for owning and operating an e-bike are a fraction of those for motor vehicles, but low-income households are unlikely to possess the disposable income to purchase an e-bike, but a loan can spread the cost of the bike over several years, making it easier to purchase. However, the prospect of taking an additional debt to purchase an e-bike could deter potential users. To address this, the BC government provided $600,000 in incentives for low-income individuals in the summer of 2023, utilizing the tiered incentive model for the Saanich e-bike program, which I will discuss next. Rebates. The benefits of e-bike ownership cannot be realized for lower-income individuals if the price remains too high to afford. To address this barrier, both the BC and federal governments provide e-bike purchase rebates. Now, the Percentage e-bike program focused on two key tools. The first was a tiered rebate system tied to household income and size. The program provided participants with three tiers incentives, $350, $800, and $1,600. The second tool is conducting income testing that both respected the individual's right to privacy and ensured that the incentives were distributed equitably. Table 1 on the left here outlines the total funds distributed by Saanich e-bikes program per rebate tier. Table 2 on the right outlines the impact of the subsidies relative to the price of an e-bike. As you can see in Table 1, the $350 tier had the highest number of recipients, which were generally individuals with higher incomes. However, it's noteworthy that the $1,600 tier, which was aimed at the lowest income households and individuals, also saw a significant number of recipients, indicating that the rebate was successful in reaching its intended audience. Improving e-mobility infrastructure. Beyond financial incentives, enhancing e-bike and e-mobility infrastructure is crucial for encouraging adoption. Notable challenge, similar to the early days of electric vehicles, is the lack of available charging stations. While there are already over 100 charging stations in Greater Victoria listed on PlugShare.com, access is disproportionately limited for low-income individuals due to financial constraints. Transportation sharing networks such as Moto and Lime offer an effective way to reduce vehicle ownership and GHG emissions through short-term vehicle rentals of cars and electric scooters, respectively. For example, 31% of Moto members reported that their membership enabled them to get rid of their primary or secondary vehicle, otherwise known as car shedding, and 23% avoided purchasing a vehicle altogether. Ensuring there is sufficient parking for e-mobility vehicles is also very important. To improve access to safe and secure parking, municipalities can leverage the developmental approval process to encourage the inclusion of secure parking facilities in private buildings. This can be achieved by fast-tracking development applications that include robust e-bike and bike storage, implementing planning and zoning standards that require multifamily dwellings and non-residential buildings to provide a certain number of e-bike storage stalls, and reducing car parking requirements for developments that incorporate adequate e-bike parking. The Cycling Gender Gap Research employed three methodologies: literature review, structured focus groups and interviews, and group rides involving five research participants and two CSBC staff members. Throughout the study, issues related to infrastructure and connectivity emerged as recurring themes. Many participants reported avoiding the Galloping Goose Trail due to its infrastructure limitations. As illustrated by the pie chart on the left, the primary determinant for women were safety concerns, specifically the lack of lighting and poor trail design and layout, as identified by the pie chart on the right. Driver awareness and education initiatives have not kept pace with the rapid infrastructural changes to cycling trails and paths. This gap creates an uncomfortable environment for cyclists, particularly women and LGBTQ+ individuals who face additional barriers. To address these issues and foster a safer cycling environment, there's a need for enhanced driver education and awareness campaigns. Key areas of focus should include sharing the road, such as emphasizing that cyclists have the legal right to share the road with vehicles, safe passing, such as educating drivers on safe passing practices to assure cyclist safety, awareness of cyclist behaviors, such as helping drivers to understand common cycling behaviors, such as hand signals and lane positioning, vulnerability of cyclists, such as raising awareness about the vulnerability and the potential consequences of unsafe driving practices, and infrastructure awareness, educating drivers on new infrastructure changes, such as bike lanes, sharrows, and dedicated cycling paths. Cycling on regional trails is often dominated by men, with issues such as aggressive driving and perceived gender and class-based discrimination contributing to a lack of respect for women and LGBTQ+ individuals. This culture prioritizes speed and competitiveness, which can be intimidating and discouraging for women and LGBTQ+ individuals, leading to their underrepresentation in the cycling community. Increasing the visibility of women on CRD trails can help challenge the perception that cycling is exclusively a male activity. Promoting a more inclusive and diverse cycling culture is essential. This can be achieved by encouraging a broader range of cycling activities that emphasize enjoyment and camaraderie over competition. Community events and group rides focus on inclusivity and create a more welcoming environment for women and LGBTQ+ individuals. As mentioned earlier, the goals of the Rethinking the Public Transit Network case study were threefold. 1, develop an analytical approach to inform the design of new transit networks. 2, identify and compare three different transit network scenarios that align with the objectives of climate mitigation, social justice, and climate justice. And 3, engaged government and transportation planners to identify opportunities for improving the transit network in Greater Victoria. Optimizing the efficiency and accessibility of Greater Victoria's public transit network was identified as a key priority. Rather than constructing extensive new infrastructure, the study suggests maximizing the use of existing infrastructure to improve sustainability and minimize waste. Transit accessibility also considers the convenience of parking near bus stops, which facilitates better multimodal travel that combines private vehicles with public transportation. The proposed networks were strategically designed to enhance accessibility in areas identified as high and medium importance according to zoning maps, which would enable the transit system to address the specific needs of different regions, creating an effective and well-connected public transit network for the GVA. The proposed transit redesigns include, but are not limited to, transitioning all buses to electric, introducing Bus Rabbit Transit, BRT routes, between downtown Victoria and Swartz Bay, and implementing subsidy policies that provide bus tickets for low-income individuals and seniors. Engagement sessions with key stakeholders revealed several opportunities and challenges in implementing proposed transit networks, which were categorized into four areas: governance, planning, climate change mitigation, and social justice. In terms of governments, 31.7% of funding for public transit in BC is provided by the provincial government, with the remainder coming from property tax levies, passenger fees, advertising revenues, and fuel taxes. However, funding constraints have forced provincial government to prioritize maintaining existing services over expanding them, which impacts the ability to enhance rapid bus services and increase the frequency of highly used transit. Transportation planning requires consideration of multiple modes of travel, but equity issues arise regarding who benefits most from access to buses and alternative transportation options. Therefore, it is necessary to balance attracting new ridership with optimizing routes for existing commuters. Stakeholder engagement sessions highlighted different views of transit accessibility. For instance, one stakeholder suggested that bus stops should be within a 15-minute walk from residences to be considered accessible, while another proposed a 150-meter walking distance as the optimal measure. Meanwhile, BC Transit considers a 400-meter distance for more than 85% of residents to be an adequate measure of accessibility. These discrepancies pose challenges in providing adequate service levels to the public. Given that transportation is one of the largest contributors to GHG emissions, reducing emissions through a shift to sustainable transportation will require implementing various strategies, such as promoting opportunities for active transportation, improving public transit, expanding shared mobility solutions, and increasing electric vehicle usage. Demographic considerations are crucial to achieving social justice objectives, particularly strategies that reduce transportation costs for low-income individuals, seniors, and individuals with disabilities. Some bus routes may not contribute significantly to climate goals due to lower ridership, they can still play an important role in social justice by providing essential transportation services to certain communities, such as those providing services to First Nation communities. Although these routes may not contribute substantially to climate action goals due to lower population densities, they are vital for social justice and equity, illustrating how climate change mitigation and social justice objectives may not always align in public transit network case study. TACES brings together individuals and organizations with experts in climate, transportation, and equity to collaborate on strategies that ensure climate action and transportation also advances equity and supports a just transition. Transportation is the leading source of climate pollution in the CRD, primarily due to passenger vehicles. Additionally, it is the second highest household expense after shelter, which significantly impacts regional affordability. TACES advocates for multimodal transportation systems that are affordable, sustainable, efficient, safe, inclusive, accessible, and user-friendly. CSBC would also like to thank our project partners whose continued support made the TACES project possible.